This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and join their team today. Right now, we head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. We're joined by legendary Maryland coach Gary Williams. He'll be at ESPN Bet Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Thursday to watch March Madness. It's just about an hour from Washington. A great place to catch all the games. ESPN Bet Sportsbook offers 40 TVs and a three-sided jumbotron with a 250-inch LED screen. And, of course, table games, slots, terrific restaurants. Two, it's Coach Gary Williams.
Coach.
How are you guys doing?
Hey, good. Great. How are you?
Doing all right?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Still here.
Still kicking.
Man, I can't believe it's been, has it been 14, 15 years now?
Yeah, 2011, wow. 14 wow. This year.
Do you miss this time? Like, I'm sure you'd love your life and everything, and I know, God only knows, I know you don't want to be involved with the recruiting
with the
way
portal.
It is today.
Yeah.
But do you miss this time of year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's if just to make the NCAA tournament, I don't care if you're Duke or whoever it is, it's a big thrill. I mean, you grow up watching that and as a player and then coaching. You know, you get my first job as an American U as a head coach, and you never think you're going to be good enough to make the NCAA tournament wherever you coach. And then when you finally make it, it's really a big thrill, and that never goes away. I mean, if it does, then you probably shouldn't be in college coaching if that goes away.
Mm-hmm. How cool for Dwayne Simpkins to lead AU to the NCAA tournament. You must be incredibly proud of that.
Yeah, I think Dwayne is a great example of somebody that really paid his dues. He was an assistant coach, couldn't get a look as a head coach for a long time, and finally got his chance. And, you know, he's taken AU in just in 2 years to the NCAA tournament. So, you know, to win the Patriot League was a great thing for Dwayne this year. And, you know, it's interesting to see him yell at players after I yelled at him for 4 years.
Yeah, we asked him his favorite.
He told us a couple stories.
We asked him his favorite Gary yelling at him story. Do you have a favorite Dwayne Simpkins story?
Oh, yeah. We played Georgetown, our big win that got us back on the map. We finally get the game into overtime. We got the ball, scores tied. He drives down the lane, and Othell Harrington was a great player for Georgetown, comes over and tries to block Jane's floater as he goes down the lane. And Joe Smith, the number one pick in the draft that year, is standing there wide open. Dwayne sees him and still continues on and shoots that floater over Harrington, had to throw it about 12 feet in the air to get it in. And it went in. And I showed him the tape after the game, and he said, "Yeah, coach, but I knew I was going to make it, so I just hope that one of his players, you know, is like that he has to coach." So, you know, it all comes around.
When he said, do you go off on him in the film study too, or no?
Yeah, no, I said, look, you know, we've got to make this play. And Dwayne goes, yeah, right, but we won the game. I mean, you can't, you know, good players, you can't intimidate them. You know,
they come right back at you. They come right back at you. Well, so, Coach, what are your thoughts on the Terps this year? You know, the Crab Five, stud freshman McQueen, and Rodney Rice coming in, transferred from former DeMatha kid, transferred in from Virginia Tech. K-Dub, Kevin Willard, got a couple other transfers in. Don't have much of a bench, not much production from the bench, but, you know, sometimes you don't really need a bench in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, if you stay healthy and stay out of foul trouble, the timeouts are so long. They're over 3 minutes in the NCAA tournament, plus halftime's even a little longer than 15 minutes. So you've got plenty of rest, except if you get an injury or, you know, the foul problems can come up. But I coached Rodney Rice's father at Boston College for a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how old I am. So he transferred to Richmond and had a great career at Richmond. He was playing behind Michael Adams and Dominic Presley from Mackin High School. So he had two pretty good guards in front of him at Boston College.
So what are your thoughts on Maryland and their chances? They play Grand Canyon.
I think Maryland's really good. I mean, they've proven they're really good. You look at their losses the last couple of months. They've been right there in every game. And their five, I think you can throw them up against anybody because – they're unusual in today's game where they have two bigs. Not many teams, you know, Florida does, somebody like that, but not many teams have two bigs and three outstanding shooters on the perimeter. And, you know, just watch them, and you guys watch them. It's really fun to watch them play, I think, and not just because it's Maryland. They really share the ball. In other words, it seems like the guy that's open gets the ball, and not many teams are that good at that. And it's not that they're selfish. It's just they're not good enough to get the ball to the right guy. But the ball moves when Maryland plays, and, you know, they play aggressive defense. And it'll be interesting to see how they attack the NCAA tournament, how much full-court pressure they use, because there's been times this year where the full-court pressure has really helped them. In fact, it brought them back from 15 down against Michigan.
Right.
I thought that was a big part of their comeback against Michigan.
Gary, so about 4 to 6 weeks ago, we were having this debate about the crowd at Maryland. I think Jeff Ehrman wrote about it. Do you have a theory why the fan base seems so fickle and wasn't filling up, you know, the stands really until maybe the last couple of games?
Yeah, I do. I've always felt, number one, Maryland has the longest semester break between the fall and spring semesters of any school in the country. They get out around December 20 and don't come back to the end of January. And you probably play two or three home Big Ten games during that period. And so that starts out the Big Ten season after your first game or two in December. You start out with no students there, and that's not a good thing. And then we all know this area. I mean, there's so many things to do. There's seven pro franchises within 35 miles of the University of Maryland. And, you know, you look at where the Big Ten, the traditional Big Ten schools are from. They're all from isolated campuses, basically, where there's nothing else to do unless you go to the basketball game. Well, that's not true in College Park. There's a lot of things. Yeah, you know, the nation's capital's 7 miles down the road. So you've got some built-in problems there. But at the same time, you know, the students have to pick it up. You know, they have to be better. They got better as the year went on. But, you know, Maryland started, you know, winning big and being ranked and all that. And so, yeah, great that they came to the game. But they got to be there. They got to be there in December for all those games. You can't afford to lose games in December anymore. And, you know, it's not always there. So hopefully the success of this year will make it a thing to do, is to be at the basketball games.
Do you buy this theory? So EB and I, when we went to University of Maryland, we didn't have great grades. Our SAT was mediocre, but we got into University of Maryland. Now the standards are really high. That I heard a story recently that a valedictorian from my kid's high school didn't get into University of Maryland. A valedictorian, that those students aren't as into basketball because they got to be in the books.
Too many nerds?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe they should close the library for the basketball games.
Well, you know, one thing, Gary, I will say that I remember distinctly is, and it's part of why I feel such a fondness to Gary. You know, he has no idea, but you had a personal relationship with the fans. Like, you made a point of talking to the fans. At, you know, they would have, I don't know, they still do the interviews, you know, post-game, you know, mm-hmm. where the whole arena can hear. I know there were times where, you know, you'd address the fans in the middle of the game if you were pissed off about something. You'd buy pizza for the fans that were standing in line for tickets to a Duke game. You know, that was a real point of emphasis for you.
Yeah, I think the things you're saying are true. The student body has changed. You know, when I was coaching, we had a lot of guys from New York, Jersey, you know, Maryland, the whole thing. And mm-hmm. we were all about the same. I mean, I went to Maryland, and, you know, I certainly wouldn't get in today if I applied to Maryland. There's no right. way right. I would get into school. And the student body has changed, and you have to do whatever it takes to get people there. I remember getting the job in 89. We had the sanctions go against us from the NCAA. And, mm-hmm. you know, we were at, you know, every fraternity house meeting, we had somebody there trying to talk to the students about coming to the games and doing whatever it took, talking to the faculty, going to faculty meetings, you know, and all those things you do. I think part of that came from American U, where we didn't have a gym. We had to play our games in Fort Myer. And you have to make the trip across town for every home game. You had to load vans with water jugs, towels, you know, do all that stuff. But that was the job. You did it, you know. And now, you know, I think Maryland has to address, and especially in football. Football's, you know, really got problems in mm-hmm. terms of drawing people. And mm-hmm. there's got to be a way. That's how I always coach. You know, there's got to be a way to win. There's got to be a way to do it. And you didn't always get it done, but you never stop trying to figure out a way to, you know, in this case, to get the people there, because home court in basketball is really important. I mean, the crowd's so close that if you have a great home crowd, it's definitely going to affect the game mm-hmm. One way or the other. And if all the other teams in your league have that and you don't, it's going to catch up with you eventually.
Well, it used to irk me. We always had it for Duke and Carolina, but like freaking Clemson would come or Florida State would come,
right,
and it wouldn't necessarily be packed. And I, as a fan, diehard fan, I'd be livid, and I'm pretty sure Gary wasn't super happy about it
I'm
either.
I'm sure he wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the old Al McGuire story. The first thing you do when you walk out in the court as a coach, you look up in the corners. If you see people in the corners, you know it's going to be a great crowd.
Right.
So, you know, and you know, in Maryland, you could feel it. And you know, going back to Cole Fieldhouse, so they'll never, you can't build a place like Cole Fieldhouse anymore. But mm-hmm. that was the ultimate. You know, you walk in there. Say I get in there, you know, before the game, 6 o'clock, walking around, and it was cold, January. By halftime, it was 100 degrees mm-hmm. in Cole Fieldhouse, mm-hmm. and that added to it. Yeah. In other words, you know, Xfinity is very nice to sit there and watch a game.
a little too comfortable,
you know,
maybe.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
And
hey.
Cole wasn't. You couldn't get to a bathroom in Cole Fieldhouse. You know, it was great.
Gary, does it blow your mind when you walk around the campus and you see the Jones Hill House now for the football team, and you see the new Barry Gossett Performance Center going up outside Xfinity, and you're like, man, I could have used this when I was here back in the day, but it's just progress. Like, they're adding, obviously, to the facility. It's like an arms race.
I don't mind that at all. I think that's great. My teammate and Billy Jones is part of the Jones Hill naming. And so Billy's legacy, you know, should be there, and it should be on campus. And, you know, we should be proud of that, because we were ahead of the curve on every other ACC school at the time. And so all those things are good. I, you know, I'm not one of these old guys to sit around and say, damn, I wish I would have, you know, we could have done this, mm-hmm. done that. Mm-hmm. You know, you do what you can during your time, and then, you know, that's all you can do. You can't do more than that.
Well, Gary, can you just tell us a story? Was it at AU or was it, why am I thinking Lafayette? I don't know. Were you coaching soccer?
Yeah, Lafayette. I was a head men's soccer coach. I got the job. I was a high school coach, and we were winning games. I coached in Camden, New Jersey, where you have right. great players, and we were winning. And Tom Davis gets the Lafayette job from American right. U. He was Tom Young's assistant at American U. He calls me up. Tom had been a graduate student at Maryland when I was playing there, and I got to know him. And he said, I'm going to hire you as assistant coach at Lafayette College. And it's 1970. And I said, great, I'm there. And he goes, well, one thing. He said, they never had a full-time assistant in basketball before, And so the only money in the budget, the soccer coach left. So that money's in the budget, but you'll have to coach the soccer team. And I'm like, you know, I this is 1970. Nobody ever watched soccer back then. Right. I mean, it was, I knew there was 11 guys in the team and they had two goals and, you know, stuff like that. That was about it.
Right.
The hardest thing I've ever done is the first day of soccer practice. I was 25 years old. My seniors were 22, 23 years old. And I knew they knew a lot more about soccer than I did. And that was really hard to walk out in the practice field. But so what we did all basketball drills except we used our feet.
Ran the weave.
Hey, yeah, Gary.
Three-man weave, sure. All that
of course.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about just some potential, coaching matchups and potential coaching matchups. So one of the more interesting parts of the bracket, Kansas is playing Arkansas. So Bill Self, they're never a 7 seed. They're never below a 4 seed, but they are this year. They got to go to Providence to play John Calipari. And then the winner of that game is going to probably play Rick Pitino in St. John's up there in Providence. Of course, Pitino coached at Providence. It's going to basically be a home crowd there. Just kind of your thoughts on those coaching matchups. And Calipari and Pitino have had a kind of frosty relationship over the years. So just kind of your thoughts on those potential matchups.
Yeah, I think that's tremendous that they threw those three guys together up there. Look forward to that. Kansas is weird this year. You know, they just – and you can see the frustration on Self when he's coaching. You know, he just can't get him to play that he wants to play. Obviously, Self has been a great coach and knows what he's doing, but sometimes you just get a team that you can't get to play the way you want to play. And, you know, Self isn't going to compromise. He's going to try to make them play his way. And so far this year, they've really struggled. What Pitino's done is, I think, the face of college basketball now. He's probably done recruiting his last high school player. He's going to take guys that have proven it maybe at the mid-major level. They can get double figures and that are 22, 23 years old or men compared to a 17-year-old freshman. So I think that's going to be a part of that. And I kind of like to see Arkansas and St. John's play in that second game because they might, you know, they ought to let those two guys go at it at half court for a couple minutes before the game starts. You know, that would be terrific. But, you know, St. John's, what they've done, the only thing about St. John's, I don't know how good the Big East is this year. You know, there's some good teams in there, but at the same time, they haven't played the toughness that an Arkansas has to play in the Southeastern Conference every night out this year. So that would be an interesting game. I hope they get to that game.
Talking to Hall of Fame basketball coach Gary Williams, of course, led Maryland to a national championship in 2002, two-time ACC Coach of the Year. Want to get your coaching perspective. So we know Maryland runs their five guys, their crab five, pretty much the whole game. How would you coach against that?
Well, I'd try to pressure their guards all the way up court, not necessarily trap, but make them work every time you know, my team scored and make them work bringing the ball up court. Now, the problem with that, you extend the defense a little bit, and they got three guys that are pretty good ball handlers out of that crab five that, you know, can put it on the floor, penetrate, whatever. So you have to be careful with that. But my goal, you know, and that would be I think any coach that looks at Maryland this year says, well, I got to get to their bench. I got to get, you know, substitutes into the game from Maryland. And so how do you do that? Go inside with the basketball, try to get Queen or whatever into foul trouble. And, you know, can you do that? You know, can you do that? And that's obviously teams in the Big Ten have tried to do that and haven't been that successful with it this year. So Maryland has figured out a way to handle that. And, you know, you talk about a bench and, you know, my idea with the bench is just keep the score where it is. You know, your bench doesn't have to come in and, you know, take the game over. They have to contain. They have to play defense. They have to rebound, do all those things. And then you bring the starters back in, and hopefully, you know, they can extend the lead or whatever or bring it back if you're behind. And, you know, I think that's what Maryland's done this year. Everybody says, well, the bench doesn't give you any points. Well, the bench doesn't have to give you points, but they have to keep you playing well. That's the key to the bench.
Yeah.
Not to put you completely on the spot, but a week ago on our show, we did a tribute to John Feinstein, who had been a contributor on our show for 13 years. Your thoughts on the passing of John?
Yeah, that's been a tough one. I've known John. He was our beat reporter from the Washington Post and American U when I in 1978 he started. So I've known John through everything, ups and downs, all those things. And, you know, to see him go was really tough because we had stayed in contact, and probably I've had more contact with since I stopped coaching. And, you know, we'd get breakfast every month or so. And, you know, and John has had some tough things lately that, you know, physically and some other stuff that, you know, he's had to really fight things. And to see it happen the way he did, he was up here, as you guys know, he was up here covering the Atlantic 10 tournament and staying at his brother's house and,
right.
you know, passed away from a heart attack. And it's just really sad. His, in fact, his services this afternoon, which I am attending.
Mm. Oh, wow. Very nice.
Well, Coach Williams, we always appreciate catching up with you. Thanks for the time. And people can come hang out with you and watch the games at ESPN Bet Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races Thursday. So go out there and hang out with Coach Williams. Thanks again.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah, thanks, we appreciate Coach. It.
Appreciate
hey,
it, man.
Thanks. I appreciate you guys. Yeah, congratulations. You guys have had an unbelievable length of time. It's in this market. Tremendous. So keep it going.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks. Appreciate
it.
Means
that.
A lot,
it's very
Coach.
Nice.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was Gary Williams, legendary Maryland.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
And head coach.
You know what? Gives me chills.
I mean, he's just giving us problems.
He's always liked us. Like, I ran into him. Probably 25 years ago, maybe 27 years ago, when we were starting out, he was buying a suit at Macy's or Hacks. Might have been Hacks back then.
And used to love Hacks.
I didn't know if I should say something to him.
He needs top 10 suits.
And so I mustered up the courage, and I went up to him and I said, "Hey, Gary, I'm JP from the Giants." And he was butt nice.
Yeah.
He's like, "Always root for you guys because you guys started on the bottom."
Yep. Yeah, he's.
You know what? That's what he's an underdog guy.
He loves those stories.
We're definitely underdogs.
All right, coming up next, we'll do EB's entertainment page here on the Fan.